Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are so glad you've joined us wherever you might be today, whatever city, state, country you are in. We are so glad some of our Beacon people are just arriving here and walking in. Aaron, Terry, come on in. Make yourselves at home. And we're just glad to see you guys. So anyway, we are live, as always, on the radio station here in Clearwater, and we are so glad that you are joining us. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are excited about the blessings of God in our lives and what He is doing in each of us. I mean, it's just mighty. Nan, you weren't planning on talking, I know. Aaron, you weren't either. But just for a couple minutes here, guys, because you just walked in, I think it's kind of cool. Spontaneous, you know, here's spontaneity. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Spontaneity.
The Bible would say
Bill, can you get Nan's and Aaron on here? Wasn't planned, but we're going to do it. We got some mics on now. All right. How about that? You know, God is just doing a wonderful thing in this day and time. And He is moving in people's lives. I don't know. Are you excited at all, Aaron, about what God is doing?
Totally. It's crazy.
Is there a change going on in your life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What is God doing? Talk about it?
Yeah. Last Sunday was a huge, huge day for me.
Yeah.
You had that big talk about burdens
and whatnot.
Just
that
laying.
Big talk. Yeah. Yeah, that sermon.
Yeah, it was. And,
that big talk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you cried through most of the sermon, as I remember seeing you there.
I was bawling like a little baby.
Yeah.
And then I went down to the Green Line afterwards.
Yes.
The Green Line.
Formerly known as the Blue Line.
That's right. With Terry Marie, we both went down there.
Yeah.
And, it was a big day for me spiritually.
Yes.
Yeah, just a lot of laying down burdens and whatnot last week. So it was a big day. It was a big, I don't know, like, I mean, like, you know, I've been born again, but I don't know. I think it was almost second to that, you know?
Like, oh, yeah,
it was,
sure.
It just felt like a brand new day.
A brand new day, yes. And it's that when we have these times in our life, these seasons where God gives us opportunity to move on with Him in greater commitment. You know what I'm talking about, Nan?
Oh, praise God. Yes, I do.
And, you know, we have an opportunity to start that new day again.
Yes.
I love that about God, that we aren't just on this little treadmill like mice, but, you know, we're in a situation in our lives, and God says, you know, time for a fresh beginning.
That's right.
Time for a new season in me. And that is what's going on, Nan. It really is.
Yeah, there seems to be, there's been several new seasons in me since attendance of Beacon of Hope a year ago. And it's just, I mean, it's like, you know, when you go from one to another, it is like such wow.
Yes.
I mean, it's like,
isn't
how cool,
it?
You know, because it's like new levels.
Right.
You know, and just new stuff happening. And it's just totally awesome. I love it.
Totally. And God says, okay, I'm going to offer you this opportunity. Okay. And you guys weren't planning on doing this opening with me. You just all walked in here right now. So I just kind of drafted you. But that's kind of like God, you know, because, you know, we trot along in life and then God says, here's an opportunity for you. You're going to sit down at the mic? Are you going to step up to the plate?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I love baseball. And, you know, every once in a while, a guy is put on the bench and they bring in a pinch hitter, you know. And that guy has an opportunity to step up to the plate and do something right then to affect the game. Or he can fizzle out. It's his call, you know.
You said opportunity. What
opportunity,
I thought
of
was that we have many opportunities come before us.
Yes.
And do we choose, like you basically just said, do we choose to take that opportunity?
Right.
You know? And I think, thinking about now, I think that there's times opportunities come before people, they don't see them.
Right.
I mean, they literally don't see them, yes. and they miss such a wonderful opportunity.
Ooh, that's,
you know,
a good
because
point.
They don't see it because they're blind and looking at types of other things. I think if people spend more time looking to God,
right,
they will see the opportunities He is opening.
Absolutely.
In a mighty, mighty
so
way.
I so agree with that. You have a comment on that, Aaron?
Since you're stepping
up to the mic, you want to have a
I agree with Nan. You know, I think God's calling us to new opportunities all the time.
Absolutely.
And it's up to us to pay attention.
Exactly. And to hit our mark,
that's,
you know,
right.
in theater, you know, there's a time in theater when if you're doing a play or on Broadway or whatever, that there's a mark that you hit and you got to get right there at the right moment and then do your thing, you know. But there's a little place, you know, on the stage where you're to be, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of see that in God right now, that He's opening opportunities, and it's up to us what we're going to do with that opportunity. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's like I was telling you the other day, you know, I've started walking and stuff in the morning.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
me too.
I was telling you the other day, you know, I missed a day, and I started feeling bad about myself for not stepping up to the plate and whatnot, but it made me realize more. I want that blessing. I want to step up to the opportunity.
Yes.
Step up to the plate.
Yes.
And grab that opportunity that God is allowing me to do.
Ooh.
So.
Absolutely. So in other words, God gives the opportunity. He opens the door. I was talking this morning in the sermon about the two different Greek words for time in the New Testament. Chronos, which means just chronological passing of time, like today is Sunday. What is this? October 23rd.
Third.
Yep. Okay, tomorrow is, you know, it's a different day. It's going to have a different date.
Right.
And, you know, right now, the minutes we've had already on the show, right now they're gone. I mean, they're recorded, but we can't go back.
Right.
You know, they've happened, right? But Kairos time in the Word is always talking about God's opportune moment. It's His, what a lot of times we call His window. You know, window of opportunity, where God just opens a crack in the window, and he expects us to be spiritually sensitive enough to see the window as it's beginning to open, and then choose to go through it or not. Go ahead.
Well, you were saying something a while ago about in theater, the mark. There is a mark. That's where you're supposed to get to. You have to get there at the right time.
Right time, or you're going to mess up the whole play.
Right, exactly. Right. We don't want to do that. Timing, I believe, is also everything in opportunity.
Everything.
I've met some people in churches I've been in the past, not at Beacon, but in church I've been in the past, that they try to make their opportunity.
Sure.
And they try to make it happen.
Sure.
And, I mean, it's one thing to be caring and be responsive to what people ask, you know, leaders ask you to do. That's not what I'm talking about. Trying to make their opportunity. God opens up those opportunities. Be ready with the timing to move forward into them in His time. Hitting the mark when you're supposed to, not making it happen, or not trying to make it happen.
Ooh, boy. This isn't the way this radio show is going, but boy, is that right on. What do you think, Engineer Bill? Sizzle, sizzle, right? Yeah.
She's on fire.
She's on fire. Yes, she is.
Like Chip had a song, and they called this lady because she was going out of her pulpit, and I said, it sounds like they're saying five ball. And he says, no, her name's Fireball.
Fireball. Fireball.
Fireball. And there's a party at Chip's now. He's got 10 mullet. He's heading home.
Oh, I heard that. 10 mullet. I'm sorry we weren't invited. Yeah. Aaron, what do you think about what Nan just said? Thanks, Bill.
I think she's right on. And, you know, I think that, hallelujah, that, you know, when we have our eyes closed, the Lord seems to continue to open up opportunities. But
yes.
that's not even where we're supposed to be.
Right.
Like, that's not where I want to be.
Right.
I don't want to miss a single.
There you go.
It's like.
Ooh,
it's
hit,
like
the bell,
you know,
hit that bell.
It's like taking a spin off of Aerosmith. I don't want to miss a thing.
Right.
And I'm not talking about some lady or some guy or whatever. I'm talking about Jesus. I don't
want to
miss a thing.
You don't want to miss a thing
that God is doing. Not one single opportunity. Not one single blessing, nothing. Don't want to miss a thing.
What a great intro.
Oh,
totally unplanned. Yes.
You made me think of something, sister. Yes. High-fiving.
They're high-fiving in the radio show.
Sometimes you should talk about not wanting to miss a blessing, not wanting to miss an opportunity. That's a really strong encouragement to attend church.
Exactly.
Regularly.
It is.
You know,
it is.
And if someone only, I'm not being critical, if someone only attends on Sunday mornings, I have a lot of friends that do that. But I want to be there every service, because you know the one service I might miss, and I have maybe had to miss one because I was sick, that was, I'd hear about what a great service it was afterwards. You right. know, and it's like, I think we have opportunities even that way that we
Absolutely.
Need to be at church and with our brothers and sisters.
And be ready to hear what God has
Absolutely.
To say and the knowledge that he's going to give you and the insight. And
well, the anointing. The anointing. We were just talking about that earlier.
All
the anointing
about
is there.
The anointing.
Yes.
Dear listener, that's why our opening song has been what it's been for these 4.5, almost 5 years from this show, about the river of God's anointing. It's all about the anointing, and the anointing is the presence of God that changes our lives. Let's go to this song. Thank you, you two. You know what? We'll come back to y'all later on in the show on down the next hour sometime for a couple comments, okay?
That's fine.
Trading My Sorrows by the Katinas. Sickness and pain. Say goodbye to suffering and shame. Hallelujah. I love that song. Aaron Boone, It Was Not Like You Do It, so we'll hear it from you soon. And next week, you're going to be on the show and bring a couple songs. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
You didn't know that, right? Until right now.
I didn't know.
You do now.
I knew I was going to be on the radio. I didn't
but
know.
You didn't know that. You're going to be bringing a couple songs. Woo! Genesis chapter 37. We're on the story of Jacob. Our theme is being blessed beyond. This story takes Jacob's life. Now he's 107 years old, and it begins to take a turn and go to his son Joseph. And I love this story. Joseph was son number 11 in the 12 sons of Jacob, and Joseph was the oldest child of Rachel, who was the love of Jacob's life. He was the one, she was the one that Jacob loved the most, that he was working for when her father tricked Jacob into taking Leah as his wife, the older sister, the ugly one. And he was really working towards Rachel. And eventually he got both of those. And he did get their, what do they call them? Their assistants, whatever, who became his concubines. So he ended up with four wives out of the deal. But the one he really loved was Rachel. And so Joseph is the first child of Rachel. Benjamin is the second and last child of Rachel. So as we see, Joseph begins, it's the first time we've seen Joseph in the Word. And here he is. And Joseph was only about 17 at this point. His brothers ranged in age from 18 to 29. And so they were older. They were out in the fields taking care of all the flocks. They had a job to do. Joseph stayed home with his dad, Jacob, and kind of took care of his father. And Jacob had a favorite son. And as parents, you know, that's not a good idea to have a favorite child. It's just not. Unless you're the only child, then that's okay. Of course, I tell all three of mine that they are my favorite. So anyway, just like God does, because God says we're all his favorites. And but Jacob did have a favorite, and that was Joseph. And Joseph was the recipient of a very, very special coat. And so many of us have heard that story down through the years. As a little kid in Sunday school, I remember this is going to date me, guys. I remember the flannel graph teachings, you know, in Sunday school. Do you remember those? And the flannel graph, and there was Joseph in his little coat of many colors and, you know, all the sheep and all the brothers and all that stuff in those stories. Well, it happened, you know, and Joseph was Jacob's favorite. And this was not actually a robe the way a lot of us have pictured it. Like they did in flannel graph in Sunday school, and they pictured it as great big broad stripes of color. It wasn't like that. It was all the colors, but it was an embroidered pattern, and it was a beautiful, beautiful tapestry. And Jacob, it says, made it for him. So Jacob had that side of him where he did embroidery work. I mean, that's kind of funny, I think. But anyway, so now the brothers are out in the field. They're taking care of all the flocks. And Daddy Jacob says to Joseph, I want you to go and see your brothers. But before he does that, there is an event here in Genesis 37 that's very interesting. And I'm in about verse 5. Joseph has a dream. Now, you got to understand, and you will as the book of Genesis unravels before us, that Joseph was a prophet. He had that gift. Joseph was extremely close to the heart of his father, Jacob, but he was also very close to the heart of God. And somehow, Jacob understood that Joseph was going to carry the birthright of these 12 sons. Their tradition in Israel was that the oldest child carried the birthright. The birthright meant they got twice as much of the inheritance as any of the others. They were the new head of the family, the pronounced new head of the family. Like when Jacob would be, you know, getting close to dying, that person would take over, be the head of the home, be the head of the family. That person should have been Reuben, and Reuben was the firstborn son to Jacob. But his mother was one of these concubines. Interesting. No, his mother, I'm sorry, no, his mother was Leah. But anyway, neither here nor there, Jacob decided that the birthright was going to Joseph, and that was because of Joseph's heart. And his heart was after God, and of course, Jacob had given his heart to Rachel, who was the mother of Joseph. Is that all confusing now? Does everybody have it? I'm trying to confuse you. I think you got it. All right. So Joseph had a dream. And in verse 5, it sounds like Martin Luther King. He had a dream, right? Well, Joseph had a dream. And in this dream, he told his brothers the dream. And it says in verse 5 of Genesis 37 that his brothers hated him even more. You see, his brothers had grown to hate him. Up in verse 4, we find out they hated him because of Jacob's preference for Joseph. And it's natural, I assume, in families if siblings feel that one child is favored over another. It's natural to feel that jealousy. And this is what happened. But they let that natural jealousy go into a deep spiritual jealousy that turned into something far worse than just a sibling rivalry. You know, it got much worse than that. So Joseph says to them, and I can't just picture Joseph. He's 17. He's kind of naive. We know from the scriptures that Joseph was beautiful. He was handsome. He was a really stud guy. And so Joseph, in his naivete, I like saying that. I don't get to say that very often. I like that word, naivete. Joseph goes and tells his big brothers about his dream. And his dream is that we were all out in the field gathering bundles of wheat. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him because here's the rest of the dream. All of a sudden, my bundle stood straight up and your bundles circled around it and bowed down to mine. Well, it doesn't really take a genius to figure out that this dream was saying Joseph was going to be in a position of prominence. Okay, in the family, in the nation, because this was a nation of Israel that was being built. Joseph was going to be in a position of prominence, and the brothers were going to bow down to him. And the natural jealousy thing took over, and it, at this point, got deeper, got worse. I mean, because suddenly the brothers are going, wait a minute, you get the fancy coat. Now you're telling us that God is telling you in a dream that you're going to be in charge of us? Not a happy thought, you know? So, you know, Joseph is kind of naive. Now we're in verse 8. His brothers said, so you're going to rule us? You're going to boss us around? And they hated him more than ever because of his dreams and what and the way he talked. So in verse 9, instead of just leaving well enough alone, it happens again. How like God, you know? Because God's going, you know what? We're going to root out the jealousy. We are going to root out the hatred. You see, God loves for us to see all that within ourselves and for us to repent and say, I don't want that. I'm sorry. Now, it took these brothers a long time to repent. Years, actually. It took them years to repent. And in a lot of us, you know, we have situations in our life that have happened maybe as younger people where jealousy or hatred or envy or strife has set in on the inside of us, and we just let it fester for years and years and years. A lot of people are like that. That's why we need spiritual counseling and guidance, and why we need to let the Holy Spirit be our counselor. We do a lot of counseling at Beacon of Hope, but we seriously do it led by the Holy Spirit. And we don't plan, Connie and I don't plan what's going to happen in that counseling room before we go in. It is simply, God, what you want done, that's what's going to happen here. And we do our best to submit to the counsel and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And this is what's going on here. Interestingly enough, God is allowing a second dream. He gives a second dream. If one is not bad enough, now he brings a second one. And because the Holy Spirit, I didn't bring this out this morning, but I'm seeing it right this moment, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to root out or expose, let's say, the evil in each of us. The Holy Spirit, one of his names is Counselor, okay? So, I mean, in our humanness, we can only do so much in the area of counseling. And it always amazes me in counseling sessions when I walk out of there after a session and know that the Holy Spirit, the counselor, has really been in charge. He's put the comments within us. He's put the right questions within us so that we ask those things that need to be asked. And then, boom, here comes the truth. And then it can be dealt with. And so, of course, there's sometimes, I got to say, sadly, in counseling sessions, sometimes a person, you know, like just clamps down and says, no, you're not going to get to the truth here in me. I'm going to lie. I'm going to deceive you. I'm going to not expose my vulnerabilities. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to be exposed. I want you, your heart, to be exposed for what it really is. What happened here by giving Joseph, I never saw this to write this minute. This is so cool. I love the way the Holy Spirit teaches me too. I love it. I love it. And so by giving another dream, what's happened is the hatred in the brothers gets deeper. The jealousy gets stronger. Joseph, in his, I get to say it again, naivete, does not realize that the brothers are getting madder by the minute. Now, the second dream is just as alarming, if not worse, but it's a confirmation for the first. By the way, I got to throw this out. God will confirm. When he gives a message, when he gives a communication, let's say, through a prophetic word, it happens at Beacon of Hope a lot, People are ministered to at the end of the service. A lot of time there's a prophetic word. God will give a confirmation of that. It'll set in your heart as, yeah, or it'll set in your heart as like running your fingernails down a chalkboard. Okay. If it's God, it's going to like, ooh, that feels good. You have a comment. Has to comment here.
No, you were talking about got to give confirmation. I would like to confirm that.
Go ahead and confirm that.
Hope, at Beacon of Hope, that is not the case. God does confirm because we have the Holy Spirit anointing is moving through you, primarily usually through you giving the word, but in other situations there's been other people, and there's always been some sort of confirmation within the lives of those people.
Right.
Those situations where there has not been confirmation has never been an incident that I have personally seen occur at our church.
Right.
I know that it occurs because I've been in many churches in my life. It does not occur at Beacon. That's
cool.
What I had to say.
Thanks for sharing there, Nan.
No.
Well, and that's the way it should be, okay? So God gives a second word, a dream, in the form of a dream to Joseph. And he says, oh, brothers, guess what? I had another dream. And I, you know, you can just see the brothers going, this isn't going to be fun. And so he says, I dreamed another dream. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down to me. When he told it to his father and brothers, his father reprimanded him. What's with all this dreaming? Now, Jacob was a spiritual guy. But I think Jacob loved Joseph so much. He didn't say, don't dream. He just said, what is with all this dreaming? And I know Jacob knew down in his heart that this was of God. This was special. Okay. And so Jacob even interprets the dream correctly. And he says, am I and your mother and your brothers all supposed to bow down to you? And that is the interpretation of the dream. And God did give the interpretation to Jacob correctly. And now his brothers, I'm in the end of verse 11, were really jealous. The word is jealous in the Message Bible. And that is so right on because that is what happens when people are not, hear me, when people are not wanting truth, when people are get jealous of the truth coming out of other vessels other than them, let's say, it can cause so much jealousy in churches. I've seen it for years. It's just the way it works. The devil loves jealousy. He just loves to use it. It's a tool to divide people. It's a very divisive tool. So his father brooded over this whole business. And so it becomes necessary for God to bring this situation to a head because we have a problem here. Joseph is in really big trouble in his own family because he's inheriting the birthright. And by the way, and I didn't bring this out this morning, but I will give you the reference right now. 1 Chronicles 5:1-2 says that Joseph did inherit the birthright. It did not go to Reuben, who should have had it because of what he did with his father's wife. Okay? So Reuben is the one who sinned and lost the birthright. Okay? But here we have Joseph in a situation to receive that and to hear from God, and the brothers are not happy about this. So Jacob sends Joseph on an errand, and he says, here's what I want you to do. Go find your brothers. I want you to go find your brothers, see how they're doing. I imagine he sent food and probably snacks and Oreos and chocolate chip cookies, I'm sure he did. And maybe some of Sean's fudge or, you know, peanut butter cookies and some of that stuff. I mean, it had to be goodies, you know, cheese, all that lovely stuff. And he sent it to, he sent it with Joseph to the brothers, okay? So Joseph goes, and as he's going, he runs into a guy in the field, and he says, have you seen my brothers? Oh, yeah, they decided they were going to a different part. They went to Dothan. And so here goes Joseph, and he finds them. But because everybody's walking instead of, like, flying to their destinations or trains or anything like that, there's no way to surprise the brothers. And so they see him from afar, and they see him coming. They have plenty of time to plot against Joseph. Now, let me say this. The devil sees you coming. Okay, the devil sees you coming, and he knows your potential. He knows your potential. He knows what it is that's going on down on the inside of you and what you're going to impact, how you're going to impact the kingdom of God. The devil knew that Joseph had the birthright and that he was going to be the one that impacted the whole nation of Israel. And he would eventually, I mean, that's just a great story. I won't give away the end of it because it's just so cool how this story develops. But the devil knew this, so he wanted to stop God's plan. Here's my point, and we're going to bring Carol in here from Georgia. The devil is always trying to stop the anointing of God. The devil is always, the anointing means the presence of God on your life. The fact that God is talking to you and you are feeling it. Like there were so many powerful songs today, this morning. And the songs that were happening, it was like the anointing was stirring within us. And that's the presence of God that's stirring up within you. And you just want to praise God. You just want to hear what God has to say to you. And the devil does not want you to be in an attitude of wanting to hear what God has to say to you. Because if you, ooh, this is powerful. This is good stuff. I'm enjoying this. This is good stuff. So if you, cheer me on here, Nan. Okay. If you,
amen, preacher.
Okay, good. Thanks. All right. So if you are in a position to respond to the anointing and you're obedient, your life will change. We have been quoting lately Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. Aaron, you have a comment on that before we bring Carol in here?
I just wanted to say real quick, I think it's so funny that I can just picture like the devil being like, you know, oh, I'm going to get him here.
Right.
You know, and and at the end, he's just like, oh, thwarted again. You
thwarted
know?
Again.
Like, right? It's just so, it's so very, that cartoon with the Roadrunner, you know, like it's just so very.
It's very Roadrunner-ish,
it is,
isn't
you know,
it?
He just keeps trying to beat him down and everything like that. And the Roadrunner's like, he just pops up and he's like, hello.
Yes, it's okay. Exactly. I'm isn't that here. True? Woo. Good comment. Thanks. Carol, are you on the air, girl?
Yes, I am.
Wow, you've been hearing our discussion, and Nan and Terry and Aaron walked in here, and so I kind of incorporated them here in this first segment. And
yeah, so you got a full house.
We do have a full house. So meet Aaron here to my right, Nan to my left, Terry over there in the corner. So we're all here. We put Terry in the corner. We did. So, Carol, what about this jealousy in ministry? What about this when God has a calling on people's lives, what does the devil do? You've been in ministry for as many years.
Probably somewhere around 30, if I were to give it a number or try to put a number on it.
I was going to say, pretty similar
Actually,
to mine.
I think it's probably much longer than that, closer to, you know, since I'm older than dirt.
You are. I was going to point that out, but I didn't want to point that
probably
out.
Probably somewhere since I was about 10 or 11, 12 years old.
Exactly.
Picking up the Bible and trying to tell people that some things in life just need to change if you want to be around for a long period of time.
Exactly. And do you see how the devil works, Carol, to try to stop the anointing in people's lives?
Oh, been there. Know all about it.
Right. And Joseph here had this dream, God-given, two dreams, and the devil was using his own flesh and blood, and sometimes the devil does that, does he not?
Yes, he does. You know, I think what we could really say about the brothers is that they could join a chorus and sing four verses of The Devil Made Me Do It.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, The Devil Made Me Do It. Because he did. You know, it was the devil's tools are hatred, jealousy, envy, strife, all that stuff. The devil uses that stuff to try to stop the anointing of God. He does not succeed, but he tries and tries. He doesn't succeed because 1 John 4:4 is so true. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He throws some real zingers sometimes, Carol, in churches and causes a lot of trouble.
Causes an awful lot of problems. And it all stems from when somebody looks around and all of a sudden they realize that a person standing in front of them is using the gift that they are the gifts that they have been given for the glorification and the edification of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The person looking at them may say, well, how did you get that? And I don't have it.
Right.
I think that person that's saying that needs to start with scripture, and they need to start in their own lives and say, Lord, make me the image of you. Let my face, let my countenance, let my thoughts and my words and my deed and my actions reflect you and Jesus Christ in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, when you say to the world and say to yourself, stand in front of a mirror and say, what is it about me that prevents me from wanting to be all I can in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And when that happens, then at that point in time, I think you're going to see the jealous person either start seeking wisdom. You know, Solomon tells us to seek the wisdom.
Exactly.
And that's what Proverbs is all about. You know, if you can't think about something for yourself, go to the book of Proverbs, find the wisdom.
Exactly.
And walk in Christ. Be around people who are of like kind and mind and purpose. You know, God gives
yeah.
each of us a purpose. Some people truly die and never know what their purpose
oh,
was.
Isn't that sad? But it's so true. It is so
yeah, because
true.
Because they don't hear when he's giving them a recommendation or, as we typically say, a calling for something.
Exactly. And, you know,
sometimes, you know, that calling is not as exciting as what's outside that church door.
Right. Exactly. And, yeah, that's exactly right. We played that song earlier, Trading My Sorrows, and it's interesting that we have a choice, a free will. I was saying this to somebody at lunch today. God has given us a free will. He does not make us fall in line. He did not make these brothers do what they should have done by Joseph. He didn't make them do that. He gave them a free will. He always gives us a free will. He does. We are not little robots or puppets on the string of God's hands. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I know that we have an option. We can either follow it or we cannot. When I was in college, one of the professors said something one day, and he had written it on the chalkboard. You can accept it, you can reject it, or you can suspend your judgment.
Okay.
And he was talking about any idea that might have come from us, the students, toward any question or action that he offered to us.
Okay.
We can accept it as a truth, into the Word of God as a truth.
Right.
We can reject it.
Yes.
Or we can just have no decision about it at all. Just go along our merry way like there's nothing about it.
But don't you think, Carol, that no decision is a decision?
Definitely.
To not get on board. These brothers, they, by their actions, and yeah, they're out in the valley taking care of the flock, but they are given an opportunity to do the right thing by Joseph when he comes there. Bringing him them, you know, supplies and checking on them for dad. And they're given that opportunity, and they choose by an act of their will to plot his murder. That's what they chose
well,
to
don't
do.
You know, it had to be for them a real slap in the face when the youngest of all
exactly
was chosen by his father to be the leader.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got
little to... did they understand that God had picked this young boy himself.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Or told his father, do this, do that, do the other. This is my chosen.
Right. And
unfortunately,
yeah.
Pastor, most people, you know, you can have 20 people in a room. That doesn't mean that everybody has been chosen to do an act.
That's exactly right.
You know, and then if God were to literally send Jesus in that room and put his hands on two or three or however many he chose and said, these are my chosen ones for this task.
Right.
Everybody that was not chosen would start to look at themselves and around the room, and then they would start going, oh, why is he chosen?
Exactly.
Why is she chosen? I have more education. I have more of this. I have more of that.
Right.
I'm wealthier. I'm better looking. I wear better clothes. You know, by all the standards that our society judges us.
And, Carol, that happens every day, doesn't it? Not just in churches, but it happens in the workplace. It happens, you know, in our families with why does dad seem to be able to open up more to this one or that one? Or, you know, it's jealousy is such a green-eyed monster and always there as a huge tool of the devil to try to stop what God is doing in people's lives. I have seen this pastoring all these years and in the ministry, Carol, I have seen this as one of Satan's ugliest, nastiest, and Demore's most disgusting tools that he uses is jealousy.
He wants dissension in the house.
Absolutely, he does.
Not want it to be a peaceful place.
Right.
A place of sanctuary, a place of learning, a place of security, a place of peace, because the devil is not about any of those things.
And that is so right.
But I will tell you this. You know, in Psalms 15:5 that Jesus says, touch not one hair of my anointed and do my prophets no harm?
I believe that's Psalm 105:15. Psalm 105:15. I'm going to turn there, Carol, and make sure that that's correct, but I believe that's what it is. But
we had a power surge, and which just dropped off our phone lines, just to let you know.
Okay, so she's not there?
No, she's not there.
Is she coming back?
I'm going to try to get it working back here in a second.
It is Psalm 105:15 when she gets back here in just a minute. In the Message Bible, it says, don't you dare lay a hand on my anointed. Don't hurt a hair on the heads of my prophets. And in the NIV, New American Standard Translation, that says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And we really should take that very, very seriously. You have her back, Bill? Not yet. Okay, we've got a power surge and a problem here right now. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. In the Message Bible, I'm going to say it again. Don't you dare lay a hand on my anointed. Don't hurt a hair on the heads of my prophets. And interestingly enough, so often people do not take that warning seriously. And as a result of that, they can come against the anointing of God in a church, in a ministry, and cause a lot of problems. And that's what we see here in Genesis 37. We're trying to get Carol back on the line here, and we'll have her in just a second. The song that we did a minute ago, Trading My Sorrows, we have a choice. We can say, Lord, I let go of the shame. I let go of, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading it all for the joy of the Lord. One of those verses says, I'm trading my, is it suffering?
Sickness
and my pain. Okay. And the other one says, my something and shame. Sorrows, my sorrows. Yeah, this is the title of the song. I'm trading my sorrows and then I'm trading my shame. These are all choices we make. Do we wallow in the sorrow, the pain, the suffering, or do we say, God, take that away? These brothers wallowed in it, and we're going to go to this next song before we get Carol back here. They're trying to get this straightened out. Healing Begins by 10th Avenue North, and that's what needs to happen. Bill, let's go to that song. Let's go to that song. Healing Begins, song two.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and you can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you built up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light. Freedom waiting in
healing begins when you come to where you're broken within. That's when the Holy Spirit can begin to work on you. Carol, I'm sorry we lost you. We had a surge power thing happen here, and we lost you, so we apologize.
No, it might be a surge of power, but powerful words are being spoken.
Well, oh, good point.
We know that's not going to be allowed.
Well, we just right now bind any more interference of the devil in this, you're right, Carol, in this show, because this is extremely powerful right now.
Healing. These are words that change people's lives.
Absolutely. And this song, really, this is interesting because Connie's gone. She's in Ohio, and she does music for the show. And I told her not to worry about doing it before she left. She was in a hurry, and she's with family. And I said, you know, I've got a show, a song, some songs that I want to use. And I didn't even know what they were. And I, yesterday morning, God showed me that it was this set from July 3rd show that we were to use. And now I understand it. I did not know what he was, how he was going to correlate this with Genesis 37, but now it's unfolding. And these brothers simply could have, they had plenty of time, Carol. They look over in the distance, here comes Joseph. They have plenty of time to make their decision and allow their hatred, their bitterness, jealousy, that's the word I'm looking for, to be nailed to the cross, basically, even though Jesus hadn't died then. But I mean, you know what I'm saying, metaphorically, yeah, to give it up.
Yeah.
And yet, they plotted a murder.
Yes, and people do that with their tongues every day, don't they?
They do, with their tongues every day.
They plot a murder, they plan a murder route, and they know the victim.
Yeah.
And then they seek that victim out, and with their tongues and their thoughts and their jealousy and their envy, they do everything they possibly can outside of the realm of Christ to murder somebody, to shut down their possibilities and their probabilities of moving the word of Christ further.
Amen. And you know, I want to run this in real quick because I forgot to say it. The internet is up, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can email us now and comment, ask a question. Maxine is manning the internet today from Georgia. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, which, by the way, is my email address. Okay, so if you want to comment and weigh in on what we're talking about, feel free. Carol, these brothers had the opportunity to repent and do the right thing by their little brother, but instead they plotted murder in their hearts, and they gave in to the tricks and the wiles and the schemes of the devil. James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know,
yep.
And so often people choose to submit to the devil and resist God.
They certainly do, because it's easier that way. If you are walking a life in sin and a life we would associate the same as an unchristian life, doing nothing for anybody, but becoming a self-serving person or a self-sharing person, you're not going to want to, number one, say that you've made an error, that you made a mistake.
Yeah,
you're not
pride.
Ask for
pride.
Forgiveness. You're going to simply go on just like beating a dead horse. You're
right.
Going to beat that individual. You know, we talk a lot about bullying in education, and we talk about it in other arenas.
Right.
Wasn't that the ultimate case of bullying?
This is the
and
ultimate case.
His brothers decided to get rid of him. They made fun of him.
Right.
They tried to take his birthright. They tried to take his clothing.
Right.
And they intimidated this 17-year-old boy.
Absolutely. And they had been doing
that. Scripture speaks of as being a beautiful boy with smooth skin, smooth hands. He was a tender young man. He had not been seasoned by the ways of the world yet.
That's exactly right. And this is so typical of the way the devil works in people's lives, especially with the innocent ones, you know, the ones that have not been tainted by the ways of the devil. And then the devil comes along and, you know, jealousy, envy, strife, these kinds of things come at, in particular, the innocent ones, in my opinion. A lot of times that we see this in the workplace, we see it in churches, we see it in families, that the ones that have their heart after God, let's just take a family situation. A child is born that God has their call, the call on that child's life for ministry and everything that God wants to do. And instead of a lot of times that being nurtured and grown, it is a lot of times it's a cause for family members to make fun of. Well, who do you think you are? All of that, don't you think?
Yes. You know, a prophet in their own hometown is about useless.
Well, there you go.
I mean, really. I mean, you stop and think. If I were to stand up, just as a for instance, and quote my hometown and say to them, you can overcome any adversity if you put Christ first.
Right.
Those people who do not recognize they have been placed in an adverse situation or who don't really care anyway because they're going to drink their way out of it or play their way out of it or whatever they do.
Right.
They would not hear me.
Exactly.
And when you go from another nation to another nation to another nation to another nation.
Right.
And you do it in a medium that they typically would not expect to find you, then it has more profound policy for them. They hear it in a different way. They accept it in a different way.
That's true.
You know,
when you're an outsider.
Your own family, you know, with you and your sisters and your mom and dad, you have the same kind of a pastor's heart that your father does.
Exactly.
And you, you know, you learned literally at his knee.
I did.
But your sisters don't have that calling on their life. Their calling is something entirely different.
Exactly. They love the Lord. My sisters are wonderful women. They love the Lord with all their heart. But they do not have the pastoral calling on their life, both of them. But they are good people.
They answered the call that mm-hmm. he was placed in their life.
Exactly. And in a family, we don't all have that same calling. And we need to appreciate, or even in a church body, we need to appreciate the differences that we all have and that we all are, and accept ourselves and accept those around us, brothers and sisters, whether that be your earthly family or your church family, accept each other for who we are and the gifts that God has given us, you know? And sadly, Carol, a lot of times the devil, he just goes in and deceives and plants jealousy and plants envy and discord, and suddenly we find people are going, well, I don't like so-and-so because, you know, and it's just usually very baseless.
Look at Beacon right now. You know that there is a man at Beacon by the name of Sean that absolutely his gift, his talent, his love is to keep the house of God clean.
Right.
And he does an excellent job with
it. Yes, he does.
And yet somebody, I'm talking previous because I haven't been there for a while.
No, not now,
previous,
but in past times.
There were comments made about why does he turn the toilet paper that way?
Yeah.
Why can't you turn it the way you think you want
it? Yeah, all those little things that the jealousy, junky stuff happens.
It's kind of like chickens.
It's like chickens, Carol?
Chickens are not the brightest bird in the barnyard,
and you
okay?
should know because you've had chickens, goats, sheep, and everything else in between, right?
That's right. I do a cluck, 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 cluck.
Oh, my gosh. You do.
Together, let's understand what happens. If you've got a chicken that, for whatever the reason, the cone, which is on the comb, C-O-M-B, which is on top of their head.
Right.
If it's been picked or a mosquito or something has bitten it and it's made a red spot, a little bloody spot,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, that becomes a search beam, just like a big searchlight, for all the other chickens. And they come over to peck it and see what it is.
Really?
And the more that come, the more that peck, the less comb the poor bird has, the less comb the bird can run away with. You know, the bird tries to go hide. Somebody will sit on the bird's back and just keep pecking. So, you know, so we have that established pecking order for who's going to be the top chicken.
So that's what pecking order means.
And that's what it means. And that's the same thing human beings do. They find somebody that is weak. They don't attack the strong. They know better. So they attack the weak, and they go after the weak, and they nitpick, and they poke, and they make fun, and they ostracize, and they shun. And pretty soon, that individual has become just like a shadow of darkness. They won't come out. They won't blossom. They won't do what God has asked them to do. They tried it once. Maybe twice or three times, and there's been somebody there to cut them down, shut them down, and bully them.
Wow. Wow. I so agree. And this does happen. It happens in the workplace. It happens in churches. It happens in families.
It happens with friends.
And suddenly somebody feels less than. They feel that they are not appreciated for what they have and who they are. And by what they have, I mean their talents and their gifts. And so you're right. They retreat like a turtle back into the shell. And then they no longer use those gifts and abilities because it doesn't feel good to have somebody be jealous of your abilities.
And doesn't it just bother
and
you greatly
so
as a pastor?
It just absolutely burns me up, Carol,
see,
because I want every single...
People seek the approval of other people, those that are weak in spirit, weak in the knowledge of the fact that God does indeed have a wonderful life prepared for him.
Amen.
Or her, whoever it might be.
Right.
And so those people that have been bullied, picked on, made fun of, however we want to use the adjectives to go along with all of that, those people withdraw. They pull their gifts, they pull their talents, and they back away from ever exercising them. Because if some person stands in front of you and says, I don't like the way you wear your hair, what's the first thing that individual is going to do when they get away from them? They're going to go to the bathroom and see what's wrong with their hair. If we allow people to constantly pick and peck and poke on us, we will not receive the blessings of Jesus Christ because we will begin to feel we are not worthy. Because another human stood in front of you and said, in essence, you are not worthy. You're not worthy of my friendship. You're not worthy of God's love.
Carol, you and I have not discussed this, and we certainly have not planned this, okay? I did not have any idea how this, you knew, I just sent you an email that said, Genesis 37, read, study, talk to you later, see you on the air. That's how we do it. You and I have learned, and all the radio commentators, I don't sit down and say, here's the script, here's what we're going to talk about. We totally allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants done in each show. What you are saying right now is profound because what you're doing and what I'm doing right now is we are exposing the tricks of the devil. Yes. The devil is a deceiver and he is a liar. And Jesus said in John 10:10 that Jesus came to give us life and to give it abundantly, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
So what happens is that these brothers in Genesis 37, they plotted. They had time to plot against the anointed one, Joseph. They had time to say, let's kill him. We don't like him. Our father loves him. We don't like him. And sadly, what we're talking about here today is so true among Christians. I've heard it said, we kill our wounded. We kill our wounded.
We do. And we wound at the drop of a hat. And the people that do the wounding, somehow in their thoughts and their actions and their deeds that you get to see and hear, they feel like they have just pulled off the biggest coup in town. They feel exonerated. They feel like they're at the top of the mountain. Oh, gosh. You might be at the top of the mountain in the little group you hang with. You're not at the top of the
mountain.
You're
not at the top of God's mountain.
To Jesus blessing you and saying to you, come with me to my Father's house.
You know, you are so right, Carol, because through the years of ministry, I have been, and you and Maxine have been beside my side since 2004. And you have seen some of the things I've gone through in the pastoral ministry and the times that people have sent their zingers my way. And let's clarify it. It's not me personally. I happen to be the anointed one who is the pastor and head of the ministry. That's why I get the zingers. I understand that some people may even actually like me personally. I could care less one way or another if they're being used of the devil. But the point is that the devil's goal is to stop the anointing of God in every service, in every counseling session, in everything that the devil does. It's to stop the anointing. Joseph carried the anointing. He carried the birthright. And the devil was trying to stop it by killing Joseph by the hand of his own brothers.
Yes, and if they couldn't have thought of enough reasons to do it by themselves, you know, okay, he's a baby brother. He gets everything. Mama loves him more. Look what daddy gives him. We hear that in our own families. We hear it in church. Well, the pastor likes her more. The pastor likes him more. The pastor doesn't like me. The pastor doesn't give me the time. The pastor doesn't hear my sighs of woe.
Carol, I've had people say to me, we've heard it through the grapevine, the pastor didn't hug me Sunday, so, you know, I'm not coming next Sunday.
I didn't know
my hugs were so
about.
Cool.
I've been witness to it to so many times.
You have, haven't you? You know, I didn't know my hugs were that good, you know.
They're pretty decent, you know.
But it's the old
somebody
thing.
Somebody that has a crooked finger that pokes you in the back, they're pretty good.
Thank you, my friend. So,
but I will tell you this. You know, in this period of time, when we're talking about this right now, God has made me an armor bearer.
Yes, and you are.
And, you know, whether you ever realized it or not, and I'm certain that
you have.
Oh, I did,
of course.
But, you know, an armor bearer is there to protect the person that God has ordained to do the work.
Right.
And I recognize that finally in myself, that that's what I'm supposed to do. And when I was there, everywhere you turned and looked, I was looking straight at you.
Yeah.
In the event something went on that you needed to have somebody come up and move somebody gently out of the way with conversation or
trip
whatever
them.
It might be.
Trip
and
them, knock them down.
That's what has happened in this. As much as Reuben didn't want to be the armor bearer, he didn't want to shed the blood of his brother either.
Right, he did not, did he? Because he thought, okay, I'll go back and I'll pull.
Did it freeze again?
No, we're on. You're on.
Not over here.
No, you're here.
Okay, as much as he didn't want to save him, he didn't want the blood, so that's why they killed the two little goats.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Pulled him out, because he saw money. You know, he didn't want him dead, with the blood on his hands.
Right.
From his brother. So they got this wild idea to sell him.
Right.
But in order to not let Daddy know that they had sold him, Reuben's plot was to, okay, sacrifice two little goats, wrap his beautiful coat in that, and let it be known that there's blood on the coat. And the father would naturally assume, Jacob would naturally assume, that perhaps the kid had been killed.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what they wanted him to assume.
Exactly. Hold it right there. We got to go to station ID, Carol. Stay on with me.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, we got to do that. And this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Engineer Bill, isn't it good to hear Carol on with us again?
I know, we have to get a new sounder for her, something like this.
Ooh, that's good.
That'd be great, you know?
Yeah, to introduce her, you mean? Or?
Yeah, because she's all over the place now.
Well,
right?
I'm so glad you did that, because I was just getting ready to say that, dear listeners out there, October 31st edition, which is this coming weekend, it's in your newsstands now. It's at Publix here, everywhere, of the National Enquirer. Oh, let's have I need a drum roll here, Bill. Help me. Woo! And then I think we need some applesauce here. All right, in the page 8 of October 31, ooh, you've added bells to applesauce. I love it. All right, on page 8 of October 31's National Enquirer is our very own Carol. That applesauce was very lame. Thank you very much. All right. Carol, we're proud of you. Your story of the breast cancer and Floyd Henry, your dog, discovering it is all over the National Enquirer this week. You are a celebrity, and I know you'd rather be a celebrity for Jesus any day than a celebrity by, you know, your name going around the world. But it's kind of cool that your name is going around the world this week,
Carol.
Well,
you know, not only is it going around the world just my name, but in every single written piece that I allow to have produced.
Yeah.
For someone, you know,
like
someone
Diane
does
for me. Sawyer, ABC News, a few weeks back. Yes,
oh, yeah.
We saw the piece.
But God is always first. He's always mentioned
Amen.
First.
Amen.
He's always mentioned last. I could not have survived cancer without God.
Amen.
You know, He gave me a reason and a purpose. You know, when I came up here, I said, Lord, you know, He told me to go now. yeah. which is what I did.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting for the purpose. Lord, show me the purpose. Show me the reason. What am I supposed to do here? I know I'm not up here just to watch the beautiful leaves fall. And when I was discovered with, you know, Floyd found my breast cancer, I went and had it confirmed, the diagnosis confirmed. I had about a 15-minute pity party. And
I remember that day.
My favorite bookstore, and about 25 tears fell down, and I felt so foolish. I thought, why am I crying? This is a wonderful way to show the power of the living Jesus Christ. So when I walked down my driveway the next day, 300 feet down my driveway, I said, Lord, I'm not going to ask you why me. I'm going to ask you why not me. I'm able to deal with it because I know my help comes from you. And all I want you to do is to help me find a way to let other people in the world know that you are omnipowerful, that you take care of us, that you love us, and you always watch out for us.
Carol, you used the word in the world. And now, how much greater can it get than National Enquirer? Right?
I don't know. I kind of think, well, the gentleman from England that wrote the article, this John Cook that wrote the article in the National Enquirer, he said, you know, you just don't have any idea what this has done or where it's going. He said, it will never be over for you.
Praise God.
And I said, oh, wow, I haven't thought of it that way. I said, that means I get to take the message of Jesus Christ and the love of God all over the world.
Oh, Carol.
I'm into this ball game. Let's play.
Let's play. Woo! Praise God. Carol, hang with me. Heal Me by Aaron Jeffrey.
It's another good to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. I'm looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumble through a verse that says you love me. As the voices echo, my thoughts drift away, and I close my eyes ashamed. I'm feeling nothing, and I pray, heal me, heal these eyes, heal this heart, heal my mind. Give me back the joy of when I first believed. Heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one more day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on me, I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do. You do. Heal me,
Praise God. I love that song. Woo, heal me. We are talking today on Living the Good Life with one of our regular radio contributors, Carol. I love that song. This should have been the attitude of the brothers. Heal me in Genesis 37, you know, of the pride and the jealousy and the envy of their brother Joseph. And if there are any listeners out there right now who realize, wait a minute, I'm consumed with that kind of stuff, this moment is the moment to simply say, God, heal me. I don't want this. I repent of all this jealousy and this envy and this pride, whatever it is, because it will destroy that person. It'll destroy the people around that person. Ooh, Carol.
Indeed it does. You know, in the heal me, in hearing the song, and I love the song with the words, and just the melody is so peaceful itself.
It is, isn't it?
It kind of acts like a nice little abrasion on the inside of your mind to get rid of whatever you don't need to carry.
Right.
When I was going through all of that cancer nonsense and so forth, I asked God to heal me. I asked him to heal my spirit, and I didn't ask him necessarily to heal my physical body, but to heal me,
yeah,
the me that is deep, deep, deep inside.
Right.
To heal my spirit, to heal my mind, and my body, my thoughts, to forgive me, because I needed to be forgiven for some things that I had not been good in doing, you know, and forgetting to do, or not knowing to do, or not reaching out to other people as I should have, and to teach me to love people just where they are, just as you do, God, and to always cover me with your grace, and let the, you know, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be centered on you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the more I have Christ, the more I have his love.
Amen. Because God is love.
More of a person you become.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was up there with you and Maxine at one point during your cancer treatment, and we went to Emory University. I went with you.
Yes.
And I observed you in action in the waiting room there among so many patients and families that were ready for treatment. It was a day that we were hooking you up to chemo. I wasn't involved,
yeah,
in hooking you up, but I was there with you. And observing you in action, sharing your faith with people. And Carol, I've got to say that through this experience, I have seen you share with so many people the hope that is Jesus in the situations that people are facing, and no matter what those situations are. And don't you think that this is one of the most wonderful blessings that came out of this time of having the breast cancer in your life?
Oh, I wouldn't have traded it. If I were given the option right now, if I could go back and have the option of, do I want to, if you could choose, do I want to have breast cancer, or do I want to say, oh, I don't think so. Knowing what I know, I would say definitely I'll take it, because I found a purpose for my life. I found one of the reasons, and I don't think it's the only reason, but I found one of the reasons God brought me here.
Right.
He wanted me to minister. I know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing,
right,
is to praising God and ministering to people, and to being, you know, to being that listening ear and that exhortation of his people. Not to stand in the pulpit necessarily as you do, although, during the entire time, I preached 4 sermons and taught Sunday school every other week.
I know, during all your chemo.
I just refused. I told the devil, I am not yours, and I'm going to prove to you I'm not yours.
And you were barely able to stand up, and yet
firmly on the ground,
yep,
and my hands up to heaven, praising,
yep,
the living God, because, you know, death has no power over him, because he rose from the dead, and so therefore he can't die again, and I am assured that I can't die but once.
Well, amen. And you know, it's interesting that you bring all that up, and it does tie in here with this story of Joseph, even though, again, you and I have not discussed any of this prior. But Joseph's brothers chose to stay in their bitterness, their anger, their hatred, their resentment of their brother. They plotted his murder. Then at the last minute, the brother Judah, which, by the way, Jesus came through the line of the tribe of Judah, and that, and Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. Judah is the one who stood up and was brave enough to say, wait a minute, guys, we're not going to kill him. We're going to sell him. You know, let's have another plan. And, you know, let's do this. And so all the brothers agreed in verse 27. And just so happens, Here comes a caravan of Ishmaelites and Midianites along the trail, and they flag them down and go, "Hey, hey, we got this good-looking guy here. We want to sell him to you." And they said, "Sure."
That would have been.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
A young man, 17 years old, perfect servant to work the rest of his life and doing whatever they wanted him to do.
Exactly. And you know, Carol, I was talking this morning about the three phases in any situation in our lives. We have first the problem. Okay, here's Joseph. He's got a problem. He is being sold as a slave. He is having to leave his brothers. He's getting on or in a carriage, on a horse. Who knows how they took him? Camel, maybe? I don't know. But they took him to Egypt. Here is Joseph's problem. At that moment, I love what Graham Cook says on one of his CDs. That should be a Yahoo moment when we have a problem, because we know already that built into the problem is the opportunity over here for God to provide the answer and to get glory. God is always going to get glory from our problem if we allow him to do that.
That's right.
And Joseph did allow it, but the problem gives us an opportunity to stand on the promises of God. So we have the problem, then the promise, and then ultimately the provision, God's answer. And I find it interesting, I forgot to mention this morning, all three of those begin with pro, P-R-O. So yep. They're all working for you, pro you. The problem, the promise, and the provision. They all are working in your behalf. This was all God's plan for Joseph.
You know, I think sometimes God puts those things in our life to see perseverance.
Oh, absolutely.
Are we going to persevere in faith and knowledge of him, or are we going to sit down, throw our hands up in the middle of the problem and say, "Can't do it, no way, devil, I'm going to just let you do whatever it is you do."
Exactly. And Carol, that is the test. Romans chapter 5, let's run over there a minute because this goes so with this. Romans 5 verse 1. I'm going to read it and then Carol, I want your comment here. Paul wrote these words, Romans 5, 1. We're going to just read the first five verses. Romans 5, 1 to 5. By entering through faith into what God has already wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and we discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us.
Yeah.
We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand. I love this in the Message Bible. I'm in verse 2. Out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. And because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. I love that, passionate patience. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy. Now, see, I believe this is where Joseph was as he was traveling. I believe he was traveling to Egypt in alert expectancy. In alert expectancy, and I lost my place, we are never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God has generously poured into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Is that not beautiful or what?
So it is absolutely beautiful. I'm looking at the Max Lucado translation.
Go right ahead.
It says, since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God.
Amen. Amen.
This happens through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. We are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We also have the joy of our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope.
Yes.
And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured it out to fill his love to fill our hearts. He gave us his love through the Holy Spirit whom God has given us. You know, when I refer back to, let me find this right here, verse 3, We also have joy with our troubles.
Yes, we do.
You know, when I was diagnosed,
yes,
I asked for a blessing that I could be to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I didn't care who it was. I didn't know who it would be. But I said, Lord, make this journey
right,
a blessing to someone else. And look where Floyd Henry and I have gone.
Floyd Henry is such a star. He is so cool.
He really is, just, you know, and he is God's gift to me.
He's a great boxer.
You don't know what his gift to you will be. He put us together, so this is my feeling. He put Floyd Henry and I together so we could show the power that God has over all his creatures.
Isn't that interesting? Because God chose to use a dog, really.
Yes.
By sniffing out the cancer in your breast and
yes,
and kept pawing at you and saying, something's wrong, and you knew something was wrong. You went to a doctor, and sure enough. And yes, Floyd discovered it, and that's why you're in the National Enquirer right now today, is because of Floyd
that's,
Henry.
That's
God uses a dog.
Everywhere because of it, because the faith that I had in Floyd to not be wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the love that he has for me,
oh,
and the love that I have for him,
yes,
is just a bonding. And, you know, if we can get that close to an animal, how much closer can we get to God?
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Yes, I agree with that. I so agree with that. I mean, because, you know, most people, I once in a while meet a non-animal lover, but most people love animals. I mean, they seem to, you know, dogs, cats, whatever. And you know, sometimes some people love them more than others. That's fine. But there is that place. I mean, with my Bailey and Zoe, Carol, and you know, you love Bailey and Zoe, don't you? Say
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Bailey and Zoe, are they just, you know, they are just so wonderful companions for me living alone. I just love, they sleep on my big bed with me, and I hear Bailey snoring in the middle of the night. He cracks me up, you know, and he's just the cutest little guy going. And Zoe just snuggles in, you know. And God has given us, and it's not a coincidence. I know people say this, but dog spelled backwards is God, you know. So, hey, you know, there is just something about God's love that comes through animals, you know. And so here, this is what happened to you. Now, in Joseph's situation here, you see that God used this kidnapping. No, not a kidnapping. It was a selling.
Yeah.
Selling for his good. And I love Romans 8:28. And God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Carol, hang on to your thought. I'm going to come back to you in just a second. Comforter by C.C. Williams.
Faithful friend and father, I've called you through the years. You've been great physician when sickness lingered near. Through distressing moments, your name is new.
a great song? Oh, he's our comforter. Don't you think he did that for you in your situation? Don't you think he did that for Joseph as he was sold into slavery? Don't you think the comforter went with Joseph down to Egypt in that chariot?
I am quite sure that he did. And, you know, it's an amazing thing when you watch the Word of God move in people's lives.
Mm.
It is really amazing to watch it work. And, you know, if you can just be observant to it, after you've planted the seed, as he planted the seed in us, that
right.
we can become more like him if
Amen.
We submit to him and lose ourselves. I wrote this so many years ago, I don't even remember the circumstance. I think I was trying to explain to somebody, but you've got to lose yourself to come to Christ. And they were just kind of laughing about that and saying, well, I don't know how you lose yourself. So I told them, I said, you've got to die to yourself to live in Christ. You've got to lie to the nature of your sins. You've got to die to the world and its criticism and its grief and all of those things. And you rise when you pray to God to change your life, to look at you in a different way, and to help you find your glory through him so that you can manifest his words in other people and their lives. When you do all of that, you rise a new creature.
Amen. But it's an act of your will, right? Like these brothers had the opportunity and they didn't take it.
Get baptized, especially younger folk that younger in Christ. I mean, they could be 80 years old, but young in Christ. When they get that full submersion baptism, they don't always know what it's about.
Right, they don't. Yeah.
Thank goodness you're there in the Gulf of Mexico when your people become baptized there, and brothers and sisters in the church, to Maxine and myself. You explain to them what it is.
Well, not just us. Brother Bill wants to comment here, Carol.
I think brother, I'm in trouble now. I think Carol there and Floyd Henry may be as popular as Winner the Dolphin.
You think so? Oh, great insight there. That's good. That's great. You know, what reminded me when you're saying this, Carol, is that we baptized two different times this summer at Dunedin Causeway. And I think for a total of 18 or 19 people baptized this summer at Beacon of Hope. And Carol, on the second baptism on Labor Day, old Bill called Bay News 9 and got the cameras down there. Talk about exposure here. I mean, you get the National Enquirer. We get our baptism on Bay News 9. It was a little wild, Carol.
And you know what? See, both of them are for the honor and the glory of Christ.
Amen.
And I'm really glad
Amen.
That Bill thought enough about the situation and the circumstance and how lives would be changed on that day.
He did.
He was, whether he realizes it or not, he was acting under direct order as the emissary of Christ to let the people in the Tampa Bay area know, hey, folks, this is taking place. And you watch these people. They're going to become new, and they're going to become productive, and they're going to become good citizens, and they're going to become good Christians, and they're just going to develop into the people God wants them
Amen.
To be.
Amen. That is all true.
It's like going to a movie. You know, when you see somebody baptized and you see their life changed and they live that change, it's like going to the best movie possible. Because you go to a movie, you know, and it's not so good and things are kind of rugged and ragged and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can stay for this. And then you begin to watch that baptized life change.
Amen. That's exactly right.
It is a moment of joy. It's a movie. You want to stand up and applaud and say, well, let's see it again. Let's see it again.
It is. Isn't that true? And this is what God does. And you know, we were just in there in Romans 5, 1-5. I love verse 5 so much. I'm going to go back to it, Carol. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And, you know, you can just see Joseph getting in, you know, to the chariot or the camel or wherever they took him down to Egypt and being in a very difficult situation, not knowing what was going to happen to him. And if we fast forward into the life of Joseph, we see that he became the deliverer for Israel. And amazing that Joseph, I'm sure, had an attitude of perhaps a little bit of trepidation, let's say, or, oh, what's going on? Where am I going? Goodbye, sure. Brothers, you know, waving to him as they take him off, you know? And yet, knowing within his heart, because God had given him the dreams, God had given him the divine visitation, Joseph knew it was going to be all right. Carol, that's the same with you with the cancer diagnosis. I remember the day where I was when you called me and told me what happened. And I remember you and I saying and praying on the phone, it's going to be all right. God is going to get glory from this situation.
You know, I think it took your breath away for a minute.
It did, Carol, because I love you with all my heart.
It was a difficult call for me to make in one sense of the word.
It was.
And I think, I know it took your breath away because I heard the gasp. Well, look at that. Compare that information that I gave you to what Joseph was given.
Yeah, we're selling you.
And he took that deep breath like you're doing, what? What do you mean you're selling me? I'm your brother. You can't sell me. What is Dad going to say?
And they go, watch us.
Yep. And they're like, we don't care what Dad says. We're tired of you being the favored child. And, you know, when you read the story in wherever we were just reading, I can't remember.
Genesis 37,
when you read that how he had his brothers, in order to go back to their dad, they put the mother did too, put this goat skin on him so it would be hairy and smelly perhaps, and you know, to make sure that their dad thought that was the wrong, you know, the
no,
right
yeah,
son,
you're,
the
you're
son.
Talking,
so,
yeah.
I mean, they just lied about the whole thing.
Now, that was actually what you're talking about there is Isaac and Jacob, the deception there. Right,
yeah.
But
and
this
they
is
lied
Joseph.
About all of that. See, when lies take place, and when they go from one liar to another liar to another liar, they become more and more convoluted.
Exactly, and you know, back to those brothers, Carol. They had a choice to make. They picked the wrong choice. However, even though they chose to sell Joseph, God said, "That's okay. I can use this situation. I am going to cause this situation to turn out for the best for all of them," which I find fascinating about the nature of God, because he does pour out the Holy Spirit within us and cause us that even though there are times that bad things happen to good people, you know, we've all heard that situations happen and we go, wow, why is that happening? We should begin to understand the nature of our God, and the cornerstone of all revelation of God is that he is good. He is good. And so therefore, when things happen to us and we say, how can bad things happen to good people? The situation may temporarily seem to be very awful, but God will turn it around if we get our heart right before God and say, okay, God, this situation is pretty bad. Let's say somebody's out there today has just lost a job, or something bad has happened. Somebody has sabotaged them in their workplace and caused them to lose their job, or a family member has cheated on them. I mean, a spouse or something bad has happened to them. When we approach that bad situation with the right attitude in our hearts, like Joseph did, versus the brothers. And Joseph, as he's being loaded on the little camel, let's say, to go down to Egypt, has a heart that says, okay, God, I expect you to make something good come of this. God will do that, Carol, just like he did for you in this cancer situation.
Yes, and he continues to do, you know, for me and other situations. I mean, I heard his voice beginning of September that pushed me into an episode that I would have never, ever, ever, ever thought of doing. But when you have a catastrophic illness or you have a tragic situation, something good has to come
exactly.
out of it. If not, that grief alone will kill you.
Yeah.
So, you may get through the situation, but it's that grief, that uncertainty that will kill you.
Okay, let's go. I agree with you. Let's go back to these three things, these three words that begin with pro, okay? We get the problem. Okay, now what we do with that problem has to become a Yahoo moment instead of a moment of going to bed for 14 days and being depressed and pulling the covers over our heads and trying to exit the pain. Okay, instead of that, God is challenging us today on this show. Take that problem and say, this is a Yahoo moment for me. I choose to believe God's got the provision over here. Something good is going to come from this. I believe that this is the attitude Joseph had. In the middle, you've got the promise. So what you do is you stand on a verse of scripture or 140 verses of scripture. It doesn't matter how many. But you grab that promise and you say, I choose to stand on this. Carol, with you, we stood on the fact that Jesus is your healer. We stood on 1 Peter 2:24, that Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses in his body on the cross, and by his stripes we were healed. It's a done deal. We stood on that. We stood on Psalm 103:3 with you, that David said he forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. We stood on a lot of key scriptures for your healing, and that's the promise aspect of it. And when we stand on the promise, again, PRO, it's working for you. And then they begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And as you began to go through, yes, painful times of chemo, radiation, as you went through the things that you went through, still you are hanging on to the promises of God that you are the healed one. And look where you are right now, Carol. You are the healed one.
You know, I could have fallen into a deep depression, like you said. I could have just closed the world out. I could have just closed my doors, pulled my window shades down, gotten out only when I had to get out to go out into public, and just have just wasted away and just said, oh, woe is me, poor me, look at me, bless my heart, and all of those things. I could have quit living. But instead, I stood on the promises that things would be better and that I would see with a different vision. And I did see with a different vision. I didn't see myself locked behind a door with the window shades pulled and my animals crawling all over me and hoping that I would find time to feed them or whatever. I stood on the promise that God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake
you. Amen.
And I got out. You know, I never had a pity party.
No.
I said I had my 15-minute pity party. It might not even been that long. I shed about 15 tears, and I said, okay,
25.
That's enough. Got a job to do. I've got to be the best Carol that God ever made.
Woo, girl.
Myself. I have a reason. I have a purpose. I have to get my lazy self up. I've got to forgive myself for what I can't do and didn't do, and I've got to always be blocked into the fact he wants me to do something.
Amen.
And, you know, I couldn't do it any other way. Nobody can. You can't shut yourself behind a closed door, hide in a closet, or lay on the floor and cover up with the rugs. You have got to allow people to see the God in you. I will tell
That's
you
the
this.
Overcomer.
I stood at the pulpit and delivered a full
Remember
service,
that day.
And I could not release my hands. Everybody was leaving, and I had said the last prayer, and everybody was going out the door, and I was still standing there. And one of the young men walked up to me, and he said, may I help you, Carol? He said, what's wrong? I said, my legs are locked. I can't even bend them. I can't get my hands off the pulpit. They are frozen on the pulpit.
But God gave you the strength to deliver the sermon.
I stood in the face of adversary.
Exactly.
I stood in the face of adversity. I stood praising God. It was important to me. So no matter how we live, no matter where we live, no matter the conditions we live, no matter the prosperity or the poverty, we have got to stand up and boldly say, Jesus is mine. He loves me above and beyond anybody else in this room. Of course, you're the only person in the room when you're saying that, probably.
That's right.
But you've got to believe it. You've got to put it down deep in your heart. You have to kick off your sackcloth and say, use me, teach me, renew me.
Amen. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, David said in Psalm 30. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Praise God. And Carol, today, you who would have ever thought, this began 3 years ago for you, correct?
Yes.
Who would have ever thought that today you're page 8 and 9 of the National Enquirer? I mean, all
now,
because
wait,
of
you
this.
Know me. Would you ever have thought I would have done that?
No, no. I mean, it's amazing what God has done. And
I didn't have a story to tell.
What was that, Bill?
That's a Yahoo moment for Carol.
Oh, that was a Yahoo moment, Carol. Okay, we're ready now for that now, Bill. All right, let's have another Yahoo moment for Carol. Isn't that
well,
good?
I tell you, it has been. But it hasn't been just for me. And that's the roast.
That's
know,
great.
I'm still the same old Carol. I'm not going to change. The only thing that changes about me is that I praise God more. I speak out more. I know we were at, Maxine and I were at a government building in Atlanta Wednesday, and there was a lot of information being imparted. There were 12 people in the room, one pastor in the room, along with his one of his deacons, and we were in there together, and we had the most joyous time in Christ. We witnessed to those other people in there. They got a shaken up time.
Praise
including
God.
Including the instructors.
Well, Carol, that's, see, when we seize the moment, you know, and
yeah.
go.
And I'm big on carpe diem.
Carpe diem. And, you know, back to the group of people that may be listening today that are down, discouraged, full of self-pity, perhaps maybe just depressed and sick and tired of life and tired of all the bad breaks. When we come to God with a repentant heart and say, heal me, Lord, look out because he's going to do it. Carol, one of your favorite songs, this is for you today, Terry McCallum, Heal Me.
Oh.
Divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me.
Oh,
healer. Oh, so come and heal.
Dear listeners, today God wants to bring his healing touch in your life. Whatever you are going through this very moment, God wants to change your perspective on that problem. He wants you to begin to see it as his opportunity for healing in your life. He wants you to see that there is an answer and a provision for you, that you must grab a hold of that and believe God for the healing emotionally, financially, in whatever area, physically, in your life. God wants to do a fresh work in you, dear listener, today. God is not through with you yet. He's got a plan for your life, and he knows what is best for you. There may be some of you out there in radio land today that have had a recent diagnosis of cancer. It is not the end of the road for you. We pronounce healing into your body, into your emotions, into your life in every aspect, whether you've had a bad diagnosis or whether you're just depressed, discouraged, and defeated. Now, this moment is your opportunity to rise up and accept the healing power of Almighty God in your life, to rise from the ashes, from the mourning, from the sadness, the grief, and the distress, and to move into all that God has for you this day. So accept it by faith. I'm going to pray for you right now. And as I pray for you, I want you to accept the gift of his healing that he has for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring before you all the listeners right this moment and those that will later listen to this broadcast on our website. Lord, we bring every single one before you. You know who they are scattered around this globe. We ask you right now in the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth to bring your healing touch in the lives of every single one. Where there's been hurts that have not been healed, Lord, let this be the moment where you reach down with your wonderful anointed salve, your healing, your balm of Gilead that you are, Lord God, and reach down into the hearts, the pains, and the heartache of so many. And Lord, bring a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit right now into these lives. There are so many that need you. Lord, if there are physical problems, if there are financial issues, if there are jobs that are needed, Lord, we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit to move in these lives right now and bring the touch that is needed in the name of Jesus. We ask you for it, and now we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Ooh, Carol. Wow, that song just brings on the anointing, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I would like to dedicate this program and this song to some people that I know desperately need to hear the loving voice of Jesus Christ and to be reminded that he loves them and that they are good in his nature.
Amen.
And I would like to dedicate this to Linda and to Carol in Georgia,
okay,
to Dee and to Susan in Georgia,
yes,
and to Lori in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
To Levi in Indiana, to mm-hmm. Wayne in Indiana,
yes,
to all of the pastor's family in Indiana, to all of my family and friends that are listening or tuning in, and for those in the world who feel that they have just been judged unfairly and have no place, I remind them in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of Jesus. Blessed and be rejoiced and be glad because your reward will be great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you were persecuted.
Amen.
You are a child of God. He loves you regardless of the circumstances or
mm-hmm.
where you live or
Amen.
How you live or who you live with,
mm-hmm.
or living alone, living in poverty, living destitute situations. Those are the people that God really pours his heart out to.
Amen.
Woo. So accept this for what it is today. It's your open door, that you can open that door, step out into freshness and the bright sunshine and say, I am a blessed child of Jesus Christ.
Ooh, amen. And we're going to walk in that blessing, right?
Amen.
Praise
God.
It's
the only way we can walk. We cannot allow the world to describe who we are or define us. I have a thing that I say all the time. I will never again let any person have a moment of my time or define me that I don't choose to allow that privilege.
Sure. And because we've got so much to get done for God's kingdom before Jesus comes back, and we know that soon. Carol, hang on a minute. Aaron, Nan, you guys weren't officially on the show, but do you have a comment to all that's happened today? If so, all right. Aaron's getting hers ready, I think, here.
I guess what really came to mind, the most last thing that came to mind, was when you were praying and when Carol was sharing when things happened with her and she didn't get depressed.
Right.
And I really felt like the Lord just laid on my heart. Just people that are depressed. Anyone
right.
who's hearing this right
yes.
now, I can relate. I spent months and months in bed except for going to work, and I got in trouble at work, but I'd spend the whole rest of my time in bed.
Yeah, depressed.
Depressed.
Suicidal.
Suicidal and depressed. Yes, I'm quite open with that whole situation. God saw me through. Praise God. I would like to encourage them if they're feeling that way. You know, people always say, just pull yourself up by bootstraps. Well, it's just not that easy. And
right.
until you walked it, it's just not that easy. What they need to do, I would encourage them to find someone to be accountable to.
Right.
Someone who they can call and say, I just can't see. Connie's my buddy. I'll call her. I'm really, once in a while, because Satan was really battling me there for
4 years. Connie's been your buddy.
Connie, I can't get out of bed this morning. She would text me back, get up, get here. You need to be here. You need to be in church. And
right.
I would just encourage them that they can win.
That's a good word.
They can win, and they need to just find someone who, if it's someone in their church or a friend or a family member, whoever would be sensitive to them, not judgmental of them, but just simply be able to call out and say, you know, I really can't get going today. And then they'll give them the little, well, kick in the rear and get them going.
Well, and, you know, if they don't have anybody like that in their life, they can write us at
Absolutely.
Prayers. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Carol writes the prayers during the day. We have Alice, Pastor Jim, Connie that write them in the evenings or on the weekends. And we are there for them. They can actually
actually
email me personally,
right.
pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. Thanks for sharing, Nan. Aaron, did you have a comment before we get back to Carol?
I just think we need to remember that God has prepared a table before us. You know?
Ooh, yes.
And he just wants us to come.
Ooh, that's good. Yes, come to the table.
Doesn't matter what you're dealing with, whatever. Just come.
That's great. Thank you. Carol.
I'm going to kind of close my little portion of this out by saying, number one, that my phone rings off the hook
it
for
does.
People who need a listening ear, and I'm always glad to be that for somebody.
Amen.
You know, I will sit, I will listen, I will just let the person talk and just remind them that they are special to God regardless
exactly.
of who they are, whatever their circumstances
yes.
are. And I have chosen in my lifetime since 08 in the breast cancer situation, and this is my little phraseology, I'm not a victim, I'm victorious through the love of Jesus Christ for me.
Amen. Praise God. That is so right on.
Live a
so
victorious
right
life. I live a life that is blessed, a
Floyd
life
Henry.
That is filled with joy of the love of Jesus Christ and his people.
Amen.
And I will go where he sends me.
And that's what it's all about. I hear the dogs right there.
Well, that's Floyd Henry.
Forrest
Lee. You know, Forrest
yeah.
Lee is dying with a brain cancer.
Right. Yes, and we just cover him.
He has his moments of good, and he has his bad moments.
Well, we lift him up right now. And, Carol, the importance of our prayer line that we've had now for over 3-4 years, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. It's manned basically 24/7. Yeah, we do sleep, but, I mean, we can get a prayer answered, a prayer written about the request within a short time, and then we see the praise reports constantly, don't we?
Yes. And I would like to, you know, to say to people, when you read a prayer that I've written, it didn't come just out of my head because I'm trying to fill a space.
Right.
I pray but for that person or that situation individually and ask God to open scriptures
Amen.
For me. so that we can know that the Word of God is actually moving in the lives of the people who have asked for help. It's not Carol Witcher singing her little ha-ha song. It's Jesus Christ moving
Amen.
Through a willing and able servant.
Carol, I love you so much. You and Maxine are dear friends, and Maxine's our webmaster. You can contact Maxine at webmaster@beaconofhopeministries.com. And so go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, find out all about the ministry.
And I can be contacted through deaconcdw@juno.com.
At juno.com. deaconcdw@juno.com.
Yeah.
It's been great having you on the show again today. You're always a wonderful addition, and we love having you here. And,
loved it.
And Aaron and Nan got to meet Carol right here on the air, and someday...
Yeah.
You get to meet her in person.
I see the picture of the pretty dog, as my neighbor said. Ain't that dog pretty?
Amen. Woo! Praise God. It's not far to Jesus. That's our theme song for the end. This has been Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about our services Sunday at 10, Wednesday at 7. We hope you will join us. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and don't have a church home, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. Come and let us love you and let God teach you and love you. And find out everything that God has for you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my buddies, Carol, Aaron, and Nan, right here on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. See you next Sunday live at 4 o'clock. It is our joy to be able to be on the air every Sunday at this time for 2 hours. God bless you. Have a great week. If we can help you, get a hold of us. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And remember, it's not far to Jesus.